speaking of fine records, and another one that's also on the Black Hen music label, I understand. This is some brand new from our good friend John Ward Hanum, who's joined us.
Well, I ain't a man of many words. At times I have none. I know that there are smarter men and many more handsome. But I take pride in what I've done, though it may not be grand. I kept my word and I learned to work this land. I kept my word and I learned to work this land. I kept my word and I learned to work this land. Yeah, I cleared all these fields here, bent my back till it hurt. Spilled my blood upon this earth and mixed it with this dirt. And I hear she's happier than she ever was back then. But if I could just catch her eye again, I'd knock down all of the timber, dig the stumps in the cool of November. And I swear in the dead of winter, I'll bust the sun until I break her. I don't care how long it takes her to push my plow through 1,000 acres and sow the seeds of your love. Getting by is not what you had planned, but I swear I'd start it all again. There ain't nothing I won't do, anything for one more chance with you. Seeds of your love. Bust the sun until I break her. I don't care how long it takes her to push my plow 10,000 acres. Sow the seeds of your love.
Brand new John Ward Hanum. The song is 10,000 Acres, right?
Yes.
The brand new record is a 2-bit suit. And I got to tell you, I got to be honest with you, that was fantastic. I'm itching to hear some more. That was pretty great. It's like we were saying, it's been a little while. How you been?
Yeah, good. No, really, really good. I've been meaning to stop back in since the last time I was here, but just never seemed to. It's funny. I can play around Alberta and sort of the West Coast, and it seems like I've got a little bit of a foot in the door in the East Coast, but yeah. The whole in between part is a little tougher. So
that's kind of funny because lots of people, you know, would work on the in between first and then kind of go that way. But
no, it's the way it worked out. The East picked, I don't know, picked it up and I managed to play the Lunenburg Folk Fest last August.
Oh, I hear
August,
that's a good one.
That really helped. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful, yeah.
And you're going to Stan Rogers this year, I see.
I am. Yeah, I'm excited about that. I've heard great things about that festival.
Yeah. So what kind of things do you do? Is it mostly just little shows on your own here and there as much as you can? Or do you try and focus on festivals or tour with other people like you did with Dave Lang? Or
I'm not
all the above?
I'm not picky. at this point, I'm pretty much picking up whatever I can pick up, I kind of have this mantra that I don't turn down a thing unless it's absolutely impossible for me to get there, and you know, or it's going to cost me a ton of money to play it and stuff like that. So
It seems like I've been reading lots, and you've been getting lots of good reviews for the other records.
Oh, that's good.
Especially
the
most recent one. Lots of people are saying nice things about it, and you've managed to win some awards and do all kinds of things. So obviously that helps a little bit, having some people say nice things about you.
Sure. all those things, the nominations and stuff like that, they're nice. But for me, more than anything else, it's just, it's nice as a sort of a promotional thing. You know, people will see that and they might put on your record instead of just putting it in the pile with the rest. So it's great for things like that.
And that's good because, as a guy who gets a huge pile all the time, when you get something that makes it, somebody says something really nice. I mean, you can write about yourself till you're blue in the face, and I don't necessarily want to believe you.
Right.
But when somebody else says something nicer, you've won some awards, and that helps distinguish you a little bit, I would say.
Sure, and that's exactly what I mean. I mean, awards, and I'm kind of torn between whether I, believe in them and like it, or even like them, but they sure do help at times.
Does that set the bar higher when you go to make a new record?
Yeah, I hope that, when I... That aside, I hope that when I make a new record, there's some growth.
Yeah.
And there's some evolution in sort of everything from the writing to melodies and everything else. So
do you know, like, say after the last record, do you know what things you had to work on or you wanted to improve on for this new record? Like, do you have that conscious thing in your head, or does it just sort of come naturally?
No, I don't think I have that consciously in my head. I did go in consciously with this album knowing that I wanted it to be somewhere in the middle, like a mix between the first and the second album. I liked the energy of the first album, and I liked the writing of the second album, and I wanted to sort of try and have both of those elements in the third one. I wanted there to be a little bit of a kick. Not when I, and when obviously, I'm a folk musician, so when I say a kick, I don't mean
guitars.
But I wanted there to be some energy into it, and then also sort of have, I wanted to improve my writing, which, hopefully I did.
How old are the songs? Like are they just fairly new or?
No, there's a couple that are fairly new, and even the new ones, they were written some of them a long time ago, and I kept changing them. I kept playing them in a different tuning or coming up with a different melody because I wasn't happy with them. Like, for example, that track that you just played, 10,000 Acres, that's gone through about five different melodies and transformations, and finally I settled with this one.
Yeah.
And even this one, I'm not sure if it's but it just came to the point where it's like, record it so that you can sort of, sometimes you just got to let things go.
Do you, obviously you have to have some kind of an instinct that tells you when a song isn't quite right, or do you have other people that tell you, like, who's the judge of when a song's done or when it still needs to be fixed?
I think I have a pretty good I'm a pretty good judge of at least my own stuff to know when. Sometimes I'm not sure, and obviously when you play a song to an audience, if they come up and go, what CD is that song on, or I love that song, then I obviously take that information and put it in my brain and go, okay, I should record this song. And sometimes songs that I think are finished, or songs I'm proud of, they don't seem to, they don't fly. And so,
really?
Yeah. So I'm not sure, but I'm trying to go with this attitude that I'm writing for myself.
Yeah.
You know, I was down in Memphis a little while ago at the Folk Alliance thing.
Yeah.
And I went and saw Guy Clark speak. He did, okay. At this radio yeah. interview. And Guy Clark, one of the things he said to me, or not to me, felt yeah. like he was talking to me. One of the things he said to the audience was, he said, you need to stop caring what everybody thinks about your music, and you need to just write your music and sing your music. And if you're happy with it, then that's really what matters. And I'm trying to, to go with that.
I mean, but there is a certain point as well. You want people to be able to listen to it, and you don't want to make something that's totally self-serving, right?
Like no, absolutely.
The whole point of doing music is so that other people can right. appreciate it and can connect right. to it as well. So, I mean, I would think that you would have to keep in your mind a little bit, like, I don't want to get too far off here. I want people to still like
right.
it.
I think, I guess what I took from that was, if you're really happy with a song, when you sing it, that comes across.
Right. Yeah.
That, you know, that joy of singing that song and comes across, and people pick up on that. And I think if people see that you're enjoying singing that song, they seem to gravitate to those right. songs.
Would you say that you are comfortable and confident with your songs then? And like, do you really believe in most of them and think they're good songs?
I'm not confident in my songwriting where I can go, where I would ever state, boy, I'm a good songwriter or anything like that. I think I am growing as a songwriter from,
yeah.
you know, what level I'm at or anything like that, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, I have to think to myself, if I look back 5 years ago and look at the songs I was writing and look at the songs I've written for this album, I think they're better songs, but
yeah.
I guess really I don't know.
Well, we'll let you know when we hear
right,
more of them,
yeah.
okay?
All right.
So what sort of took so long, I guess, between the records? It's been a while since the last one.
It was a combination of me not feeling like I had the songs.
Okay.
I really didn't think I had the songs to put out another album. And the other thing I noticed is that when I put out the second album, Dynamite and Dozers, and I became busier and was traveling more and was playing more, that and I'm sure you've heard this from lots of musicians who come here, the biz part of the music biz was starting to take over the music part of the
yeah,
music biz,
yeah.
and it became to the point, and it still is like that. It still is to the point where I'm spending more. It seems like I'm spending more of my time emailing and mailing mm-hmm. out CDs and mm-hmm. and signing contracts, and than I am actually writing songs. And
right.
I think that was a big part of it, was that I wasn't spending the time. I wasn't putting in the hours writing the songs.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I didn't have the songs to record.
Are you must be nearing a point where you can get some people to help you out here and there with some of that stuff, though?
Well, I mean, it's so nice that Black Hen decided to, you know, release
yeah,
this album.
Because
right off the top, you know, Black Hen has their publicist, Ken Beattie.
Who's fantastic. He's
that's what
the
I
best
hear.
In Canada.
Yeah, that's what I hear. And so it sure is nice to have... you know, feel like I've got some support.
Yeah,
you know, for the first time, really ever. You know,
how did that deal come about? Did you chase them down, or did they chase you down? Or
I saw Steve Dawson in Austin at Folk Alliance, and obviously knew of his work with
right.
with Zubat and Dawson.
Yeah,
and we were waiting at the elevator, and I just approached him and I told him who I was, and I said I was interested in him producing my next album whenever it did come out, because
yeah.
at that point I wasn't even at that stage. And he just he gave me a card, and that card sat on my desk for probably a year and a half.
Really?
And then I emailed him kind of out of the blue and said, do you remember me, you know, accosting you at the elevator? And and he said yeah, and it kind of went from there.
Really?
Yeah.
And well, obviously he sort of believed in what you were doing enough to put out the record,
I guess. Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah.
And certainly, you're in good company on that label as well. So that's.
You know what? That's what I'm most happy about. Like, I look at everybody that's on there. I look at Jeff Berner, and I look at Linda McCrae and Kara Luft now, and I feel like I'm, I'm just really honored to be amongst, you know, in
yeah.
that list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, would you mind gracing us with a song? Or
yeah,
or
absolutely. We're hoping that the voice is going to hold up. So
we should mention again that you're playing tonight at Candor. Lots of folks should come on out. It's going to be a good time. 390 Provence. Have you stopped by there yet?
No, I haven't. We've kind of been emailing back and
yeah.
forth, Amanda and myself, and we've spoken on the phone a couple times. But
wonderful folks and a wonderful store. So you know, I know you're going to have a good time.
Oh, good. Well, thanks. This song's called Two Bit Suit, which is the title track of the CD. And in Fort McLeod, where I live, if you ever want to buy off sales, which I guess they call vendor here, like the alcohol after the liquor store is closed down, you go to the Queen's Hotel. And the Queen's Hotel is this old turn of the century hotel, and you go around the back, there's a big steel door there you have to open up, and you actually walk into a cage. You're standing in a cage once you walk inside, and it's to protect the guy selling the booze from who wants to buy the booze. And there's a little door, a little like gate, and you slide your $10 under the little gate, and he slides you your six pack, and you know, if you feel dirty, like it's some dirty transaction, and then you go home. And I came out of there one day, and there was this lady that lives in town. I don't really know her name, and she's sort of a little bit down and out. And she was out in the parking lot, and there was a full moon that night, kind of shining down. And she was kind of doing this little kind of drunken jig with some guy that I'd never seen before. So I decided I was going to write them a song. And so this is it. It's called Two Bit Suit.
Come on, darling, let's go down Main Street. Put on your dancing shoes. Won't you wear your pretty red hair or any old way you choose? And all I got is a hole in my pocket. Ain't worth a damn if it was, I'd hawk it. We don't need no fancy ballroom. Let's dance under the moon. Let's dance under the moon tonight. Take my hand and hold on tight. Little bit left and a little bit right. We'll dance until the morning light. We ain't got much I can deny, but what we got, honey, money can't buy. Well, come on, darling, let's go down Main Street. Put away those blues. Money's tight, but we could spend some time wishing we had something to lose. And I found a penny in my purse. We ain't much, but we could do much worse. I don't see our luck changing anytime soon. Let's dance under the moon. Let's dance under the moon tonight. Take my hand and hold on tight. Little bit left and a little bit right. We'll dance until the morning light. We ain't got much I can deny, but what we got, honey, money can't. And we'll dance to the edge of town, past the railway cars, with the light of the full moon and a chandelier of stars. And we'll get out of this dusty town, stern over by the sea. Won't you save your last chance for me? Won't you save your last chance for me? Well, come on, darling, let's go down Main Street. Put on your sweet perfume, lilac dress and sweet pea breath, and eyes like lilies in bloom. And I'll put a spit shine on my boots, and I'll patch up my two-bit suit. We'll let the rhythm of our own hearts carry the tune, and we'll dance under the moon. And we'll dance under the moon tonight. Take my hand and hold on tight. A little bit left and a little bit right. We'll dance until the morning light. We ain't got much I can deny, but what we got, honey, money can't buy. Yeah, what we got, honey, money can't buy. Yeah, what we got, honey, money can't buy. What we got, honey, money can't buy.
Brilliant. When you see a scene like that, when something like that happens, like, do you have to consciously turn it into a song then? Or like, what's the process between you seeing, you know, something that looks a little weird, a little crazy, and then it becoming a song? Do you file that away, or does the song kind of start to write itself right away? Like,
I get a few lines right away usually.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll get a little chunk of a melody almost immediately. And then it's a matter of just, I kind of repeat it over and over and over again in my head.
Yeah.
And it sort of develops and from there. And I find, you know, it's so true. When I first started to try and write songs, I used to wait for the lines to come.
Okay.
And then write them down. But I started reading a lot about some of like the Nashville writers and things like that, and they used to, you know, they used to say the act of writing will flesh out, you know, so many other things, and the ideas will come once you actually, you know, put pen to paper.
Right.
And it is true, and for me at least it is true. So I find now if I get a little chunk, if I go home and I just start to sort of write that chunk down, there's something about the actual physical act of putting that pen on the paper allows other things to come for me, yeah.
And do most of your songs come from things like that, things that you've seen or things that you've heard, or can you write fiction as well?
Well, I mean, absolutely, because, I mean, you know, I tend to write a lot about sort of my, I guess, rural surroundings, Fort McLeod and stuff like that, and my dad's dad was a farmer, but I don't have any real experience myself. You know, I've never been a farmer or a rancher or a coal miner, and I like to write about those things just because they are relevant for around the area where I live. So, yeah, I'll read up on those things, research sometimes even. I have a song called Annabelle on the second song, and that was actually because I was reading about the brothels in Winnipeg.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and apparently at the turn of the century, the brothels in Winnipeg were on a street called Annabella Street.
Yeah,
and I couldn't rhyme with Annabella, so I just shortened it to Annabelle. So yeah, I mean, I like to do that, where I sort of just make up stories in my own head.
Yeah,
yeah.
What is the goal of a good song for you? What are you going for with the song?
I guess I'm going for a sort of an emotional. Sort of impact, I guess.
Right.
My lyrics are not cryptic in it. You know, nobody reads my lyrics and goes, I wonder what that song is about. I mean, because I lay it out just like.
So I appreciate that personally.
Like,
I love that about a good lyric. But they're also poetic as well. I mean, they're not. This isn't just straightforward writing. I mean, it looks like. You put some time into crafting a good lyric.
Yeah, I mean, I try and wrangle the words and stuff like that so that there's different, poetic sort of techniques used and stuff like that. But I've tried writing sort of, I suppose, for a lack of a better term, like cryptic kind of lyrics. And I'm just, it's not in me, you know? It's just, I'm just not that songwriter.
Yeah.
And it's much easier for me. Well, not just easier. Like I say, what comes out of me is sort of storyline. You know, almost like there's a start of the story. That, you know, there's a middle, and then there's an end.
Yeah.
Type thing. That tends to be how I write.
Are those the types of songs that you listen to and love as well?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I'm a big fan of. Well, I mentioned Guy Clark. I love Guy Clark's writing. I love Fred Eagle Smith's writing.
Yeah.
Even some early Loudon Wainwright, III, when he was doing more sort of storytelling stuff. But as far as I'm concerned, the most influential person on my writing right now is probably Fred. And I don't think my stuff sounds like Fred's, but I think he's such an underrated
for sure
Canadian songwriter, and I've said this before, when we think of great Canadian songwriters, you know, obviously Joni Mitchell comes up and Cohen and Lightfoot and all those people, but I don't know, for me Fred's right up there. You know, I'm just astounded at the amount that he writes, how prolific he is, and just the quality of it.
Yeah,
blows me away.
There's certainly something about it, and I can see a connection between you two, because it is very, I mean I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but it's very simple writing that we can all sort of relate to and understand, but yet there's a powerful sort of poetry that goes behind it as well.
Well, that's nice to hear. Thanks.
So yeah, that's great. Would you play us another song?
Sure. I was thinking of playing this song. Let me see if this is. Yeah, all right, I think all the reeds are unstuck. This song is called Infantryman, it's pretty self-explanatory. There's nothing I need to explain. Mm-hmm.
My boy came home from the war today. I stood by as his plane touched down. An infantryman on foreign shores, coming on back to his hometown. And it seems so long since he's been gone. I stand before him now and I gaze in disbelief. My boy came home from the war today, draped in the maple leaf. My boy came home from the war today with a medal for valor in combat. They hoisted him high on their shoulders, and every man gathered there clutched his hat. But no fanfare played, and no speeches were made. No pretty young maids waved a handkerchief. My boy came home from the war today, draped in the maple leaf. My boy came home from the war today. He was draped in the maple leaf. My boy came home from the war today. Now my heart is filled with grief.
Wow, that's a pretty powerful song.
Oh, thanks.
Very, very lovely indeed. I was reading a review just yesterday of another singer-songwriter's record, and the reviewer said it's a fine singer-songwriter's record, but it's just another singer-songwriter's record.
Yeah.
And singer-songwriter records are a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
So there's nothing here that makes it stand out from the pack.
Right.
Do you how do you distinguish yourself from the pack? Do you have to worry about things like that? Like what I'm doing so much more special? How do I make people come and see me at a festival where there's, you know, 100 singer-songwriters?
Gee, I don't know. That's a good question, because I don't necessarily worry about it, but I'm very, very aware of it. And I've said lots of times that I'm the worst demographic for trying to be in music. I'm a white male singer-songwriter with an acoustic guitar, and there's a million of us.
For sure.
I totally agree. And I always say, God, I wish I was like purple, you know, and a hermaphrodite or something like that, and I could, you know, that could be like part of how I, you know, sell myself, or just to something, you know, that makes it a little bit different. I don't know if I can answer that question, you know, about what. Because I don't, again, although I'm aware of it, I don't worry about it, and I can only do what I do.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, the, you know, I might be run of the mill, and I'm very, very conscious of that. Again, all I can do is write from, you know, how I write and sing how I sing and think how I think, and it, you know, if that somehow puts me, you know, aside from others, great. And if it doesn't, I don't know what I could do about it.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean that in any direction.
No, I think
your stuff
way.
is certainly outstanding, and I think that once people hear it, they'll sort of get it. But you know, I kind of wonder about that sometimes. Like,
yeah.
how do you find your own identity? Is there a John Ward Hanum sound?
Gee, I don't know.
Or a style?
A style. Well, I mean, I tend to call my songs blue collar roots music, and I like to think that I write about that. Now, you know, what does that mean exactly? I guess I tend to write more about, everyday kind of working class,
yeah,
rural, small town, you know, kind of stories, mainly because I tend to gravitate that. And I don't know, I love sad songs. Like, I love painful, hurtful songs, and because there's a real beauty in pain.
Oh, for sure.
And I don't know, I tend to write about these small town things, and I'm not saying that people in the city, you know, don't feel that those same emotions, but because I don't live in the city, I can't really relate.
Yeah.
A lot of times. In fact, when I get to a city, I can't wait to get the hell out and, you know, and get back to, you know, a tiny little town.
Yeah. But I mean, living in Alberta, I mean, you're surrounded by big cities that sort of control things, right? Like you pretty much have to at least do some business in the cities to survive as a musician, right?
Sure. Well, I used to be, I mean, I kind of, from the age of about 9 to, I don't know when I left Calgary, but say 21, 22, I lived in Calgary, and I actually moved to Lethbridge to go to do a degree there. And I actually worked my classes so that all of them were from Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so that I could get the hell out of Lethbridge, because I couldn't stand how small it was, and because I needed to get back to Calgary where there was a scene and something to do.
Yeah.
Now it's the opposite. So then I went from Lethbridge to Fort McLeod, which is about 2,500 people. And now I go to Lethbridge. I can't even handle Lethbridge anymore.
It's too big now.
Oh, yeah. And I go to Calgary. I just want to scream. So, I try not to go there very often.
How is the scene in Calgary? Is there are there opportunities for you to play there?
Yeah, I think so. There definitely is. I don't know. Calgary, especially things like folk clubs. I think there's 5 folk clubs alone in Calgary. There's 3 in Edmonton. So there's definitely opportunities like that to play. But obviously with folk clubs, you know, you might get one show every 2 years,
yeah,
or something like that, that you get put on their lineup. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely roots venues to play in Calgary. They're not, you know, there's not tons of them. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I don't know how they compare to, say, other cities like, say, Winnipeg or you know, others. I really don't know.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like something's working out for you anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm almost to the point where it's like I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was a teacher for 5 years. I taught junior high for 5 years, and there's no way I want to do that ever again.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Oh, yeah.
So I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, no, it was painful, and so I just had to quit. And so I don't know. I almost feel like I've invested a lot of time and money into this, and I do enjoy it, and I don't know if I'd be happy doing anything else.
Yeah. Well, I gotta believe that with Black Hen on board and Ken Beattie on board and stuff, that things are gonna pick up in the right direction for you.
Well,
and hopefully a lot more people are gonna hear these great songs in the near future. When does the album come out?
April 10th it gets released.
April 10th. And is that just in Canada?
That is just in Canada, yeah.
Have you ever thought about releasing them elsewhere, or is that a possibility?
Actually, I had an offer from a small label out of Washington, D.C. called Trade Root Music, and the label itself is called Free Dirt Records. I'm just waiting to get... There's stuff in the works.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that will happen. We'll have to see.
For sure. Would you mind doing one more for us? Or
sure.
Should we play something off the CD? Or?
You know what? I wouldn't mind hearing a song off the CD, actually.
All right.
The third track on there... is a ballad that I wrote, and I don't write too many sort of love, you know, like pure love song ballads. I like to include the theme of love in lots of my songs, but I don't really have any that are, you know, you'd say, man, that's a love song, and this one is, and it's called Sweet Sweet Rose.
All right.
Well, I'm falling behind, and I'm falling through. I'm falling to pieces, a time or two. And I'm falling victim to words that weren't true. I'm falling from grace, now I'm falling for you. Oh, my sweet, sweet rose, I've come to my senses and silence the voices that play in my head. Oh, my sweet, sweet rose, I'm done riding fences. Can I come to you now and lay in your bed? And I hold my heart for you, pinned to my sleeve. You wrapped yours in an old shirt where pride has can't sleep. You trusted to me just for a while. I'll only need it the rest of my life. Oh, my sweet, sweet rose, I've come to my senses and silence the voices that play in my head. Oh, my sweet, sweet rose, I'm done right. Fences, can I come to you now and lay in your bed? And I've never felt as far from the ocean as the day
another brand new one from Two-Bit Suit by John Ward Hanneman, playing tonight at Candor 390 Provence. And you were just saying you got a band with you, hey?
Yeah, in fact, I had a bigger band up until this morning. My drummer had to.
He got fired today?
No.
He exploded?
He's a University of Lethbridge student. And,
okay.
So he missed 4 days of classes last week when we came out here, and he just wasn't prepared to miss anymore. So
okay.
So we put him on WestJet this morning.
Yeah.
And but I still have the two other guys. So I've got a Tyler Bird with me on the upright bass, and Darcy Stamp with me, who's playing fiddle and mandolin.
How does that change what we hear? I mean, other than obviously being more players, but
yeah, I tend to play different songs lots of times when I have players with me. I'm not a flashy guitar player by any stretch of the imagination. So I find that I tend to gravitate more to simple finger picking songs if I'm playing by myself with a little bit of strumming. Whereas if I've got Darcy and Tyler adding some harmonies, yeah, and especially Darcy adding some nice little fills on the fiddle or the mandolin, I tend to play a few more, up tempo, kind of, stomping songs and stuff like that. So, they're all in that sort of that whole sort of folk, I don't know what you want to call it, even country and western type roots vein, but a little probably a lot more up tempo songs. Maybe that's the way to put it.
Yeah,
with the guys.
What time do you go on tonight? Do you know?
7 o'clock.
And is there an opener? Do you know? Or just
I don't know, but I don't think so. But I
probably
don't know.
Should have straightened these out before.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
So $3.90 Provencher. It's always a good time. I think it's about $8, and it's going to be a great show. Obviously, you can't sell the new one yet.
No.
Right. But do we have the other albums in tow for people to buy?
I've got some other CDs with me tonight as well, for sure.
Excellent. So come on out, and folks can check you out on the web, of course. John Warthanam, WORTHANNAM. Now, John, I'm going to ask you an embarrassing question. Do I file your CD under W or H?
That's not an embarrassing question, and I'm glad you asked. You file it under W.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So sometimes people think it's my middle name, which it's not. Or they think it's sort of like, I'm like those blues players, like John Big Boy, Williams or something like that, and it's like
Blind Dog Hannah.
It's not a long story. I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. Our bloodline, if you trace our bloodline, our family's bloodline, it's Hannum.
Okay.
I gotta try and remember this story right. I think my mom's listening. I told her to listen in. So I think it's my grandfather's father on my dad's side died when my granddad was three or a small child, and his mom like shacked up with a German guy or I think that's the story, and his name is like Wart. Well, they would say Wirt, right? The Germans pronounce that Wirt, but then it gets anglicized to Wart and stuff like that. So it's the legal part of the name is Wart. The blood part of the name is Ham.
All right. Well, I'm glad we cleared that up because I've always kind of wondered. And
no, it's okay. And it's a real mouthful, and people just aren't quite sure about it. And it gets slaughtered. Like I've been called Worthenum, Wartham. Some guy at the Canmore Folk Festival came up to me and he said to me, "Is that your real name?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I thought that was a vitamin." He was this guy from the States. I think he was talking about St. John's Wort, but I don't know.
All right. Well, thanks for coming here, John. You're welcome anytime.
Hey, thank you.
Don't be such a stranger.
Me. Okay.
And I think we're going to play something off Dynamite and Dozers, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
We talked about Annabelle. You mind if I play that?
No, go ahead. That'd be great. Play that. Thanks for a lot. Coming.
They say I killed a man last night. That could never be right. I was lying next to Annabelle. They said something about a game gone bad. Some man thought that he'd been had, lost his money and his horse as well. Then underneath the full moon outside the last chance saloon, shots rang out, a man lay in the street. A lone gunman figure in the shadows pulled the trigger. Someone said he looked a lot like me. There's a red light tonight on the prairie, shining from the Ellicott's Hotel. But the brightest light I find is the one that shines behind the eyes of a girl named Annabelle. Whoa, the posse grew in size as the sheriff deputized every man looking for a fight. They turned the bloodhounds loose, some man made a noose, said, "I hope there'll be a hanging here tonight, a hanging here tonight." Well, they kicked down the doors, threatened all the whores, they turned them out if they didn't tell. They pointed to the upstairs, said, "You'll find them up there, lying with his Annabelle." Every day I prayed she'd leave her loving ways. "Darling, Won't you come in off the street? Down on my knees, I'm begging you, please. Won't you come with me and be my sweet? There's a red light tonight on the prairies, shining from the Alicorns Hotel. But the brightest light I find is the one that shines behind the eyes of a girl named Annabelle. Oh, oh, I had no time to run when the sheriff pulled his gun. Stood there with his finger on the squeeze. She must have known he'd pull it, cause she moved into that bullet, and Annabelle fell down to her knees. She fell down to her knees. Shining from the Alicorns Hotel. But the brightest light I find is the one that shines behind the eyes of a girl named Annabelle. Oh, oh, I held her as she died, and aloud the sheriff cried, I guess there's one less whore in this town. I drew my pistol from my side and shot him between the eyes. There's one less sheriff there. There's a red light tonight on the prairie.